Hallelujah. Praise God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Is that true for you? You may be seated. This is a beautiful week, right? A week of success. A week of promotion. A week of increase. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today we will begin a series of teaching God's Word on a subject that I've titled Christ Consciousness. I believe we need to have a good understanding of the Word and also to be conscious of the reality of the kingdom of God and all that we have been blessed with. I said the topic is Christ consciousness, a very, very important subject for us to learn about. Do you have your Bible here? Whether or not you're successful as a Christian, you win or lose, it will depend on your level of Christ consciousness. When we say Christ consciousness, interestingly, you know, I just realized that in the second service, there was something I wanted to mention to them I thought was important. I didn't get to say it when we were defining Christ. And so we just went on from a particular area. I hope I get to explain that to you. Firstly, when we say Christ consciousness, what are we talking about? Who's Christ? Who is Christ? Again? Christ is the Son of God. Well, partially correct. Christ is the Son of God in terms of what? Jesus and his church. Excellent. What is Christ? Christ is the Son of God. Christ is the Messiah. You see that? He's the Messiah. He's actually the Greek version of what in the Old Testament they call the Messiah. You see, that's the anointed one. Okay? So when you say, who is Christ? Christ, the anointed one. Christ is the Messiah. Christ is the Son of God. Christ is Jesus and his church. But then you say, what is Christ? Then you're not just talking about the person now. You're talking about what makes him who he is. That's the anointing. That's the anointing that makes him who he is. For example, in the scripture, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So there he wasn't talking about Jesus. But what made him the Christ, the anointing? So he wasn't saying Jesus that strengthens me, but the anointing that strengthens me, that enables me. And we know that we are enabled not by Jesus, but by the anointing that he gave to us. Praise God. Yeah. All right. So we say Christ consciousness. So what is consciousness? Consciousness. You're dealing with awareness. Awareness. Self-consciousness is self-awareness. Awareness. We're talking now of the knowledge of the soul. That knowledge that the soul of man has taken possession of. What has become clear to you, what you are now at home with. You are aware. You're no longer ignorant of it. It has become your possession in knowledge. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
when did you first know you? I mean, there was a time in your life you didn't know you. You didn't even know you existed. Sometimes I ask people, you know, when they say I was born on such and such, I say, were you there? Because I know they were not there. Were you there when you were born? Somebody told you, right? Somebody told you, you are not a witness. You weren't there. You never thought about it. At least that's one thing you believe you know so much, but somebody had to tell you, and they may have been wrong. You say, I got the certificate. Aren't you aware that sometimes they write the wrong thing? Give you the American dating for the British style or format? Think about it. So your month stands for the day and the day stands for the month. And they were wrong and you got wrong and you've been wrong ever since. But never mind. I'm aware that a lot of people also choose the date they want to choose. Say, okay, which one do I choose? I was born. It's okay. Is anybody here, you never had to find out from someone when you were born? How many of you knew exactly when you were born? Come on. Are you serious? Did you know when you were born? That's nice. What about when you are sleeping? How many of you know where you are when you're sleeping? You know you're sleeping when you're sleeping. How many of you know? You always know where you are when you're sleeping, and you know that you're sleeping when you're sleeping. Is anybody here? How come you don't know? Because when you're sleeping, you're sleeping. You're as good as dead. You don't know nothing of what's going on except you wake up. If you don't wake up, you don't know. You don't know where you are, who you are. You don't know what's happening to you until you wake up. Somebody said, I'm a light sleeper. Yeah, but until you wake up, you don't know where you are. Did you ever sleep somewhere and you found yourself somewhere else? Maybe they carried you there while you were still sleeping. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're talking Christ consciousness. And I said, what is consciousness? It's awareness. You know where you are, who you are, what belongs to you. You know your environment. You're aware of your environment. You know. So you're not sleeping. When you are sleeping, you are not aware. You get it? Great. Jesus is our example in life. In everything, he's our example. Amen? He's our example. But I was making a distinction the other day, I believe it was last week, Sunday, a distinction between the Jesus that was crucified and the Jesus that was resurrected. A big difference. One was the Lamb of God that was slain for us. The other one was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He died as a lamb, was raised from the dead, ascended, and has become a lion and not a lamb. He died a servant. He is now a king. Oh, many don't understand that. Jesus was a servant. When you study him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those gospel books, you're reading of the man of Galilee who was slain for us. He was the servant of Jehovah. But when you read of him from the book of Acts, after his ascension, he's the king. He's the king priest. He's not a servant anymore. He's a king now. Hallelujah. He's a king now. So, what is he like? Think about it. If the devils couldn't hold him down when he was a servant, what can they do with him now that he's a king? I mean, that gets my attention. They couldn't resist his words as a servant. They couldn't resist his words. How can they resist him now that he's a king? Christ consciousness. What kind of consciousness did Jesus have? Why was Jesus so successful? How come he won at everything? Why was he so fearless? Why was he so victorious? Did you ever read of him? No, he was never in need of anything. He had no consciousness of need. You know, I need some money, I need a house, I need new clothes, I need. We voice our needs. We never read of Jesus speaking of need. He had no sense of need. What a man, what a life. You say he was the Son of God? No. He didn't live as the Son of God. He was the Son of God, but lived as the Son of Man. That's what the Bible shows us. The Bible tells us he didn't live with the nature of angels, but as the seed of Abraham. He lived as a man, not as the Son of God. He lived for us as a man because he had to live in our place. He died as a man. If he died as the Son of God, it would be illegal. He wouldn't have been a perfect sacrifice. He wouldn't have been a perfect substitute. He had to be a perfect substitute. He had to be a man like us. to take our place. That's why no angel could die for us. That's why Jesus wouldn't live as an angelic being or with the supernatural power of deity. He had to be a man. That's what the Bible calls him, the second Adam. Praise God. But here's the point. Here's the point. Jesus in his earth walk suffered what human beings suffered. But in the midst of the suffering, he won. The Bible tells us he laid aside his glory. And didn't seize on his reputation as the Son of God. He put it aside and functioned like us. He was hungry like you. He was thirsty. You remember on the cross, he said, "I thirst." He wanted water. He was tired and slept. That's the way Jesus was. Jesus was tired. Can you imagine Jesus at the end of the day? Didn't you read it? The Bible says he was weary with his journey. He had walked a long distance and became tired. That's what the Bible says. Jesus was tired from walking. Sat at the well, tired and hungry. His disciples went to try to get him food. By the time they brought him food, he didn't feel like eating anymore because he had been sharing the word. Oh, some of us feel the same way. I feel the same way a lot of times. Sometimes I feel hungry. But wait until I get to share the word of God. I forget about food until I'm done. I just don't think about food then. No time. You're like, wow, this is just the best. You know why? Because your spirit is where the life is. Hallelujah. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that comes from the mouth of God. Every rhema. Oh, glory to God. I hope you'll understand this. I'm sure you will. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema. That means God's word for the now. God's word to me today. God's word concerning me now. When I hear that word in my spirit, and I voice it, he says, I live by the word. Rhema is a spoken word. Rhema is not the word that you think in your mind. Rhema is that word that comes to your spirit and you voice it. It's got to be spoken to be rhema. God gives it to you. You hear in your spirit. Maybe when you're studying. Maybe when you're listening like this. And then you get it. When you get a hold of it. That's my rhema. That's the word for me. And then you speak. And whatever you confess on the basis of rhema is rhema. And what happens is you get what you say. You get what you say. See, Christianity is for living. In other words, it's something you practice. You actually watch your life grow. You see yourself making progress. Life ceases to be a mystery. I can't understand why a lot of Christians feel like life is a mystery. And it's not. You know, they're praying and trying to, oh God, you know, like God's mysterious. We don't know what's going to happen to our lives. You know, they're just living from day to day as though we don't know what's going to happen. Oh God. No. You enter every day with a sense of victory, with a consciousness of mastery. But you see, that only happens when you have Christ consciousness. Christ consciousness. Christ consciousness. Let's look at Jesus for a moment. You ready? Okay. St. John's Gospel. Chapter number 6. Verse 63. St. John chapter 6 and verse 63. I want you to notice what he says. Oh boy. He says, it is, I want you to hear this man of Galilee. It is the spirit that quickeneth. That means it's the spirit that gives life. The flesh profited nothing. Then he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What a confession. Jesus said it. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are not empty words. How many of you can say to somebody, the words that I speak are not empty? See that? See that? If you knew, if you were aware of such a thing, think about what your communication would be like. This, my back is always paining me. Can you imagine? This, my back is always paining me. I don't know why. You know, the talk of confusion. A vacillating spirit. Oh. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I speak words of life. I'm a blesser, not a curser. I'm a lifter. Oh boy, think about it. Think about it. Think about your life when you talk like Jesus every day. Every day. Think what kind of life you'd live. All right, now, turn to verse, same book, but verse 38. Are you there? Oh, this is a big one. Read it with me. 1, 2, go. Ah, stop! Maybe we didn't hear him. Since you were born, how many people have you heard say in public, I came from heaven? Hey, I told you the other day, one Christian said, I'm the heavenly man, and a book had to be written about it. Can you imagine that? Because most Christians don't know they are heavenly. Now think about it. Jesus said, look, I want you to notice the confessions of the Son of God. He says, Not I came down from Australia. Not I came down from the UK. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? I just came down from London. That's not what the man is saying. Can you think about it? In the same sense that they would say, I came down from Kano this morning. I came down from Abuja this morning. The man says, I came down from heaven. No, think of the consciousness. For him to have been so successful, he must have been aware of something that others were not aware of. He must have had a knowledge that was a mystery to others. Because he lived as a man. He proved that what he did, we could have done. That's why he lived as a man. Wow. I came down from heaven. I came down from Abuja. I came down from heaven. We've heard people come down from everywhere except heaven. Can you dare talk like him? You ought to. Jesus said, I am from above. He looked at the Jews in the eyes and he says, yeah, from beneath. And when you're born again, you're born from above. You got a life of God in you. You came from above. How we should learn, get this consciousness. Get it. No wonder he had absolute mastery. I see it now. Wow. No wonder he did the things he did. Mine, oh my. Praise God forevermore.
Amen.
Let's see some more. Chapter 8, St. John. No man ever speak like this man. Let's look at it, verse 12. I mean, he blew their minds. I want you all to read it. One, two, go. About it. He didn't say, there's a light from God. Philosophers talk like that. There's a special light. You know, they try to make it look wonderful. But Jesus never spoke like a philosopher. He didn't say, there's a special light. Anybody who sees that light will be great. There is a light. If you can find it, has the philosopher seen it? No. But he tells his followers, there is a light that you must find. To be great, you must see that light. Sir, have you seen it? No. Jesus comes, not talking about the light. He says, I am the light of the world. Hey. Who are you? You see, this is the mystery of Christianity. And here is where many lose. Jesus actually said to us, you are the light of the world. Now, how many of us have been bold to declare in public what Jesus said about himself and about us? Have you ever said it in your neighborhood, I am the light of the world? Can you say that at work? I am the light of the world. I am the light in this place. Oh my goodness. When you understand, I'm talking about Christ consciousness, an awareness that you are the light. Do you know that you are the light? Or do you just think, or maybe you read that you're the light, or you heard that you're the light. Are you aware? This is what we're talking about. There is an awareness that changes your life. It changes your states. And grants you your estate. You see that? You are the light of the world. And it's no religious cliche. You are the light of the world. You ought to say it. Now, until you talk like that, you will never act that way. You see that? Until you're bold to say, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. Now, that sounds big. So you say, well, I'm the light in my family. Well, I'm the light of the world. The family is too small. I'm the light of the world. Be bold. I'm the light of the world. You see, I can understand this because this is the way I've been brought up in Christ. This is my walk in Christ. This is my walk in the Holy Ghost. As I study the Word of God, this is what I find. I can't talk negatively. It's not possible. I can't talk negatively. It can't come out of my mouth. I speak victory. I speak success. Because that's the only way I can think. I don't know how to think any other way. It just doesn't flow with me. I can't think fear. I can't think failure. I can only think success. I can only think of winning. I can only think of victory. I can't think failure. I can't think defeat. Why? I've gained a Christ consciousness. It's important. There's a Christ consciousness you have that delivers the world into your hands. You notice that through the Word and the Holy Ghost, you gain the mastery over the world. Jesus said, "Cheer up, I have overcome the world." You see, so he had to overcome the world. He had to. If he had been, if he functioned as the Son of God, he wouldn't need to overcome the world. But he had to. He said, "Cheer up, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world." He subdued the forces of nature. Start training your faith in the things of God. I said, start training your faith in the things of God. Learn to train your faith in the things of God. Stop acting like the natural man of this world. When you're born again, you're no longer a natural man. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. A new creation that's not subject to the devil, is not subject to disease, he's not subject to Satan. He's not subject to poverty or defeat. I refuse to be poor.
I refuse to be sick.
I refuse to be defeated. Because I'm what God says I am.
Born again.
A new man in Christ. With a Christ consciousness. I know who I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I got the life of God in me.
Every fiber of my being.
Every bone of my body. I got the life of God in me. Hallelujah. All right, turn to verse 23. The same chapter 8 in John's Gospel. And I want you to read it to me. One, two, go.
Look.
Listen to me. Didn't Jesus say that about us? He said, "Ye are not of the world." He said, "Ye are in the world, but not of the world." He said, "I have chosen you out of the world." What he said about himself, he said about us. Why can't we talk about ourselves with the words that Jesus spoke? Until you talk like that, you'll be under the elements of this world. I love what Paul said. He had a Christ consciousness. He said, when we were nepios, we were in bondage to the elements of the world. He said, when we were children, that's what he meant. When we were children, when we were spiritual babes, He said we were in bondage to the elements of this world, to the forces of this world. But you see what? When he became a man, he knew to say, I can do all things. He knew the difference. He knew the difference. You grow in Christ. Refuse to be a baby. Mine. Hallelujah. You know, there's something that I love so much when I meditate on it, and I, wow. I think, this is powerful. This is powerful. Let me explain it to you. Jesus Christ, when he died, you remember his disciples fled when he was arrested? The disciples fled because they were afraid. Why do you think Peter denied Jesus? Because he was afraid. He was afraid of dying. A little girl said, hey, you were one of his disciples. Me? Never. Somebody said, hey, he used to follow that man. I never knew that man. And then he looked across the hall and saw Jesus. And at that moment, Jesus turned. And he and Peter saw themselves. Then Peter remembered when Jesus said, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me thrice. The Bible says Peter wept. He felt sorrowful. Did he go back to tell those people, I lied, I knew the man? No, fear didn't let him change his mind. You see, what fear does makes a coward out of a man. He ran away until he received the Holy Ghost. So when he was born again and received the Holy Ghost, everything changed. Everything changed. Oh, boy. He stood out. They accused him. You're drunk. He was bold. He addressed thousands of people. Told him about Jesus. And there they were shaking in their boots. They couldn't believe it. These men who were afraid last week. Well, they were changed men. Hallelujah. When they arrested Peter and John, because of the commotion that had happened because of the man that was healed at the gate of the temple called Beautiful, when they arrested them and brought them before the council and questioned them all day, guess what? When Peter stood up and spoke, they said, is that God? The Bible says when they noticed that these men, who were unlearned men, spoke with such boldness, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Listen, these guys, they had been with Jesus. All they needed was the same spirit that Jesus had. They knew his words. They could copy his words. They could speak his words without spirit. They knew everything Jesus did. They knew the story. They were with him 3 years throughout his ministry. There was no spirit. That's why you must receive the Holy Ghost. With a Christ consciousness, brother. Mm-hmm. From then on, you win all the time. All the time. That's why Paul said, and we know. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. He said, and we know, we are aware. He used the consciousness word. Did you hear me? The Greek word is idol. We are aware that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You get a sack letter, doesn't move you. All things work together. Let's say the naira has dropped again against the pound. All things work together for good to them that love God. Not to everybody, but to them that love God. We are aware. Because you see, these things that we are sharing, they are for the select few. They are communicated with esoteric language. Not for everybody. Not for the general. Hallelujah. These are for the seniors. Those who have crossed the line of thinking Christianity is a religion. They know Christianity is a living thing. They no longer think it's a religion. They've passed that level. Say, I've passed that level. I've passed that level. Hallelujah. It's not for the guy who's looking for deliverance. You know, I dreamed that one thing with one big head was pursuing me. I tried to run, I fell down. Oh, please help me. No. At that level, you don't know what we're talking about. It's not for the Christian that believes that there's a demon that is stealing his children. Every time I'm pregnant, something takes it away. You see, as in my dream, something came. It was my auntie. He came and stole away the baby. You believe all that trash? Trash. Trash. These are the sins of your father who come upon you. So why? Because your father did this and that. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. All things are become new. You know, somebody said, but that's not what it means. What else could that mean? That's clear enough. No, you know, because in Africa, there's a witchcraft spirit. No. I want you to understand, and I don't mean this critically. Most of the preachers, not all of them, most of the preachers are children of native doctors, or they themselves are former native doctors, grandchildren of native doctors, cousins of native doctors. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? So they've come from this background, this fetish, terrible background, where witchcraft was the order of the day. So they have carried it into Christianity. So all they see is demon. And deliverance. Let me tell you something. No Christian needs deliverance from the devil. And this is a fact. Now, that's not to say, I want you to hold on. That's not to say that a Christian could not have an attack or an influence of Satan. But the fact is, if you got to know that there was a devil messing with you, all you have to do is say, devil, get out in Jesus' name. And you know what? You don't need any special preparation to talk to the devil. You don't need any special preparation for him. Let me tell you another thing. I know when Jesus cast out devils one time, you know, he said to the disciples, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. That was before they were defeated. Because Jesus functioned as the seed of Abraham. Are you hearing me? He functioned as the son of David. His right to cast out devils was the authority of Abraham, the authority of David. Are you hearing me? So he died for us, was buried for us, was raised back to life, and arose a king, ascended a king, and gave us the authority not of a lamb, but of a king. We don't need to pray and fast to cast no devil out. There's no demon that requires prayer and fasting before he's cast out. Listen, I cast out devils, and they are all the same. You know why? Somebody said there are junior demons and there are higher demons. True. But let me tell you what. Jesus didn't go for the small ones. He went for the real biggie. He went for Satan himself. Put his foot on his neck and rendered Satan helpless. The Bible doesn't tell us that Jesus defeated them one by one. He went for their boss. Are you hearing me? And put him out of action. Paralyze the devil. So now, he put Satan, the big boss. Are you hearing me? Now, this is important. He put their big boss, the greatest of them, their master, he put that one under our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did. He wasn't bothered about the small ones. He took on Satan himself. So even though there are hierarchies of demons, that's for their own structure and organization. That's not when they collide with us. Hallelujah. So the Bible didn't say resist demons and they will flee. No. No. 1,000 times no. You got it. Listen, because you know this is important. This is James chapter 4 and verse 7. He doesn't say resist demons. He says resist the devil. Definite article. Who is he talking about? Satan, Lucifer, the boss of all the demons. He says resist him and he will flee. Hey, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said when you cast out small demons, the big ones can come and attack you. Where are the big ones? The biggest of them has fallen. The biggest of them has fallen. Oh, glory to God. Hey. Glory to God. The biggest of them has fallen. Hallelujah. My, oh my. Let me tell you another good thing. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. Say this with me. I have no fear.
I have no fear.
Good. Can we read now from Revelation chapter 1? Let me show you something here. You'd like this. In verse 17, John is telling us of his experience with Jesus after his resurrection. Of course, long afterward, not immediately after, long afterward. This is Book of Revelation now, not Book of Acts. Verse 17, and when I saw him, John says, when I saw Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead. I fell like a dead man. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I don't know what that means to you, but I can help you out with something. Jesus said, fear not, I am the first and the last. In other words, you don't need to worry about what may be coming. You know, some people say, we don't know the future. Jesus said, look, I am the first and I am the last. And you're inside, in between. You see that? So, he's telling you, I have seen the end already. No need to fear.
Ay, 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 ay.
Hey! He said, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am the first and the last. If he is the first and the last, you are inside. You are between the first and the last. This one is telling you, I am the first. I know the beginning. I know the end. No need to fear. I know what is coming. What is coming is not greater than you. Ay, 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 ay. Woo. I refuse to fear.
I refuse to fear.
Let me show you another thing. Hallelujah. This is amazing. Look at verse 18. He said, I am the first and the last. Whether it has, no matter what area of your life it is, he is the first and the last. He has looked at everything. Upon all that he knows, between the first and the last, the beginning and the final outcome, he says to you, no need to fear. We are dealing with one who is the first and the last. I said, let me show you this. He says, I am he that liveth. I feel like throwing this jacket, you know. I am he that liveth and was dead. I was dead. How many people have you seen in the street that they told you I was dead? I am he that liveth and was dead. He says, behold, he says, look, I am alive forevermore and I have the keys of hell and of death. This is mind-blowing. Higher. Let me give you a picture so you can understand this. Jesus had one excitement ahead of him. As he progressed in ministry, seeing different grades of the supernatural taking place. Because as you study the ministry of Jesus, you would notice that the miracles kept increasing in quality, in power, in glory. They just kept increasing. There was one that excited him. It was death. He had raised the dead, but he wanted to overcome death. He had raised the dead. He had snatched people out of death, but he wanted to find the everything of death. He wanted all the particulars of death. The Bible says, let me show you so you can understand. When I say he was excited at it, you say, how do you know he was excited at it? I want to show you so you can understand what I'm saying. Turn to the book of Hebrews for a moment. Have you seen it? From verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Did you hear that? He says, because those he had come to unite himself with, you can read the previous verses. He was excited. He says, I and the children whom God had given me. In completing that statement from the prophet, he says, are for signs and wonders in Israel. Praise God. Now, here he says, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he says, because the children were human beings, he also himself became like them. He took part of the same flesh and blood. He became flesh and blood. Why? Look at it. Because that's, it was something he was looking forward to. That through death, he might paralyze him, destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He says he wanted to deliver those who, because of fear of death, were all their lifetime in bondage, subject to bondage, because they were afraid of death. He knew why Peter denied him. He knew because it was Peter's fear of death. He knew why men sinned. Fear. And he was excited to deal with it. He had raised men from the dead. But that was not enough. He was looking forward to going into death itself. He was looking forward to going to hell itself. And I like this. Did you notice the Bible says the one that had the power of death was the devil? The devil had the power of death. He had the authority of death. Satan before this time could enter into any family, any home, anywhere and snatch somebody. And then they would lie and say, God, the Lord took him away. The Lord didn't take him away. They said it was the Lord. And then they said on TV, with gratitude to God, we regret to announce. Regretting to announce what you express gratitude to God for. If you were so grateful, why do you regret it? It's like saying, with gratitude, I regret to accept it. That's another way of saying, well, because we couldn't resist his will. So God's like a hawk, a destroyer. Shows himself in the family and picks somebody away. And then everybody, when Jesus came, he says, stop the fear. Oh, a Christ consciousness. That consciousness that helps you understand you got power over death. We'll come to that. Are you here? Yes. Let's look at it now. This is amazing, 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 amazing. He says, and deliver them, verse 15, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. All their lifetime subject to bondage. He saw it. He saw it and he wanted to change it. Then he died. Jesus died. Everybody say, Jesus died.
Jesus died.
And when he died, he went to hell. He went to hell and defeated Satan. And the Bible shows us that he brought out those who had died from hell. They came out with him. That means Jesus, when he got into hell, Satan and all the demons, all the hosts of hell, couldn't knock him out. He defeated them. It says that he might paralyze him that had the power of death. That is the devil. The devil. Satan. Jesus paralyzed him. Are you hearing now? You just read it in verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. If anybody tells you they are strong demons, they are junior demons, tell them you are greater than the strongest demon. Why? Because the strongest of them was paralyzed by Jesus. And Jesus gave you the authority to rule over him. The most senior of the devils. So when you tell the most senior to go, all his junior ones run also.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. We're talking about the Christ consciousness. Jesus went into hell. The big thing was not even that he went into hell, because others went to hell. He actually went into hell as a prisoner. Now here's the point. When Jesus resurrected, it was final. Because no one ever came out of hell by himself. Jesus called others out, and they couldn't hold him back. Now he came in himself, and not even Satan could stop him. He went to hell. Do you understand? He whipped death, came out alive. And then when he appeared to the disciples, what did he say? He says, all hail. All hail. He didn't want them to keep quiet and say. He said, hail. 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 That's what he wanted. He said, hail. And you can imagine they partied in that place. All hail. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Ah! Oh, no, I felt that thing run through me. Woo! He came out of hell. He was back. Do you understand? He went into death. He went into hell itself. And came back alive. He came back alive. Wow. Oh, dear, dear Jesus. What a miracle. What glory this is. He came back alive. And he says, all hail. They saw him. This was an exciting moment. An exultant moment. Wow. He was back. And I can imagine some of them standing and just admiring the Son of God. Wow. Wow. When he stilled the waves, they said, what manner of man is this? When he walked on the water, they didn't know what to think. But now he comes out of hell. Oh my goodness. No wonder when Thomas saw him, he said, my Lord and my God. He fell at his feet. He couldn't stand it. He said, what manner of man is this? He was there. When he walked to the water, Thomas saw that. They just said, wow. But now this was more than wow. He said, my Lord and my God. He couldn't think of anything more. My Lord and my God. Hey, for the first time he would look at a man face to face. He couldn't think of anything else. He called him God. He said, my Lord and my God. He didn't nobody to tell him. This had to be God. He said, my Lord and my God. Hi-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya. I want you to know that in those days, they had talked about the Buddhist theology. Are you hearing me? Confucianist theology. They had thought about all those philosophers of old. They knew about them. But here came one who came out of death. Are you hearing me? Nobody was there to raise him up. No prophet was there to pray about it. He came out. Oh, glory to God. He came out of death. He came out of death. This was a man. He didn't function as God. Are you hearing me? Now he shows up, and Thomas couldn't hold back the tears. He had said it was a lie. He had said others have been brainwashed. He said, I will not believe until I see. Now Jesus shows up. The windows were shut. The doors were shut. The Bible says, then came Jesus in the midst of his disciples. Thomas, this is not a ghost. He said, Thomas, you said until you see, you will not believe. Put your finger into my hand. Thomas saw those holes where the nails had passed through. With a drilled those nails through his hands. When Thomas saw that, he was shaken. Jesus said, not over yet. Pulled back that jacket. He said, put your hand into my side. Because he knew there was a wound there. Are you hearing me? The Roman soldier had thrust a spear through his side where blood and water gushed out. And Thomas put his hand there and he felt it. He said, my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. He couldn't say, thou art the Christ. He said, my Lord and my God. He couldn't talk like Peter. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, my Lord and my God. You've got to come to that place in your life where you know Jesus is God. If he were not God, he would have told Thomas, no, 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 you're going too far. He accepted it. He said, because you have seen, you have believed. That what? That I am Lord and God. My Lord and my God. What a consciousness. This is the one that says to us, fear not. He has been to death. He has been to the grave. He has been to hell. And he came back. Oh, glory to God. He's the one that says to you, fear not. I'm the first and the last. I know about it. Fear not. There's nothing to fear. Why? He's telling us there's nothing in death. Are you hearing me? Nothing in it. Fear not. He's the first and the last. And you're in between. Fear not. Hallelujah. Let me tell you about Paul. Paul had gained a Christ consciousness. A Christ consciousness is the working of the Spirit of God in your life. A Christ consciousness is an understanding of who you are, what life you now have, the environment of the Spirit to which you have been born. Are you hearing me? For the Bible says that we live in his presence. We have been brought into his presence. There's where we dwell. There's where we function. There's where we live. A consciousness of your new environment. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? He had come there. He had arrived. He was the one that told us, if any man is in Christ, he is no ordinary person. He's a new creation. All things have passed away. All things are become. Not shall become, but are become new. Are you hearing this? Now let's go to 2 Corinthians and see this Christ consciousness that Paul had. Are you still here? Oh, dear Lord Jesus. Wonderful. You know what, brother? Sister, you got to cultivate a Christ consciousness. Are you hearing me? Cultivate a Christ consciousness through the word. That's the way to live as a victor. You have a Christ consciousness, you will never complain of any disease in your body. Because it's not possible. Not with a Christ consciousness. Just like Jesus, who had gained a consciousness over death, Paul had done the same. Let's read. From verse 8, chapter 1, 2 Corinthians. Are you there? For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength. There was so much persecution, you understand? In so much that we despaired even of life. We despaired of life. Look at this verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Stop, look up. I don't know whether you saw what we just read. You know what that man is saying? It's too big for the religious folk. He says, we despaired of life. We were pressed beyond measure. He says, the horror was too much. He says, but that was too late. He says, because we already sentenced ourselves to death. He says, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Why? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised the dead. Do you understand? That's what Jesus was saying when he said, "Fear not, I am the first and the last." That means I can do something about it. I'm the first and the last. I am here, I'm here, I'm at the end. So what are you afraid of? That's what he's asking you. Paul said we had the sentence of death in ourselves. So we should not trust in ourselves, in our ability. So no more fear. We have transcended our ability to the ability of God. It says we trust in the God that raises the dead. Do you know what the man is telling you? He said, we already sentenced ourselves to death. We knew, as far as we're concerned, we will be raised. That's what he's saying. He had come to that point like Jesus, who gave up himself, trusting that the Father will raise him from the dead. He trusted the Father, the God that raises the dead. So when he sent him to hell, he knew he had to go. He trusted that Papa God will raise him back to life. He trusted the Holy Ghost. For he was raised by the glory of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. Can you trust him that way in your life? There's nothing to fear. I remember one of our pastors was telling me about the vision that he had. An open vision. He was in the bathroom one day. And while he was there, Jesus is wonderful. I love the way he does what he does. He said his door had been left ajar. Okay? And he heard the door move. But he was in the bathroom. And he thought, who is that? Who is it? So he called out, who is it? He was passing. Chakabaya. And then the door opened. And Jesus walked in. He said every strand of hair went kya. And Jesus said, fear not. Oh, ho, ho. Oh, yeah. He said, fear not. And then began to explain things to him about the ministry. Fantastic. It was very interesting. I traveled. He didn't know anything about it. I traveled and came back. In the vision, Jesus told him I'd come back. So he came straight to see me. I said, how did you know I went out or came back? He said, Jesus told me you came back. I said, what happened? And he gave me the rest of the story. Are you still there? Are you still there? Fear not. Turn to three people and say, there's nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. There's a Christ consciousness. Hallelujah. Say this with me. I got Christ consciousness. Yeah. I got the Holy Ghost. There's a Christ consciousness. In my spirit. Hallelujah. Hey, glory to God. Do you love Jesus? Glory to God. If you have a tumor in your body, hey, with Christ consciousness, it ought to be dematerialized. Are you hearing me? It shouldn't stay in your body. No sickness should stay in your body. No disease should stay in your body. Hallelujah. I'm what God says I am. I'm what God says I am. A victor. A winner. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The wisdom of God is working in me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm making progress in my life. I'm advancing. Hallelujah.